Well, this morning I look forward to having some time with you in place of Ron this morning. He is on an anniversary weekend with Mary Lou, so they won't be here this morning. So I got the pleasure of being able to share with us this morning. Before we jump into what God has for us this morning, a couple of things. There is, right after this service, we're also going to do the same after the next service. We just ask for members, if you could stay right after. We're going to have a quick vote on some people that went through our new members course a few weeks ago. And we're really looking forward to this group being ushered in. And so we just need a quick vote right after the service. So don't go anywhere. We'll make it happen quick and then let you down to breakfast afterwards. Darlene will have a section out there that you're have great opportunities of just seeing if God would have you be a part of some of our Haiti ministry and ways to meet some needs coming up there. So make sure you take some time to look at what Darlene has going out there and talk with her afterwards, and that would be awesome. I want to just start us with just some reading out of John chapter 14 this morning. And you can turn there. It'll be on the screen behind us here as we just get ready for what the Lord has this morning. It says in John chapter 14, I'm going to start in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me, I will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. A little bit later in verse 23, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And then in John chapter 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And 15 are just kind of scriptures for me, and I just am to spend a few minutes with you guys this morning talking about this walking with God. You know, the very beginning of Genesis, you know, they were walking and talking with God in the garden before the fall, and a lot of things that began to hinder our walks with him and separate us from God. That intimacy was there, just hanging out, like we're hanging out right here, talking and just having that conversation. These words in here are amazing, that he dwells with you and in you, right? A lot of these, I love even in verse 23 when it says, we will come to him and make our home with him. There's all aspects there, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. A couple times in there about the Spirit of truth being referenced as that guide, that helper, the one that's going to remind us of the things he said. And seeing God just does not leave us stranded with this despair that comes on us because we just don't know what's going on in life, and we're stuck in ruts, and we get distracted, and we begin to get way off track. And God here in chapter 14, and much like in John 15, when he says, I am the vine, you are the branch, apart from me, you can do nothing. There is this deep need for us in our walks, our discipleship, our growing in Christ, to stay connected. And so this agent he gives us is this Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to tap into this morning, is kind of building off of what Ron was on last week. He was on a series of growing in Christ, and he was talking about things that both hinder and stimulate our growth. And I just wanted to mention a couple things on that. Was he was looking at inside and outside forces that hinder and stimulate our growth in Christ. And the inside force that hinders is that flesh. And we're going to get into that some more this morning. This fleshly passions and desires based in sin that are in us are very strong. They're very strong. They're very deceiving. And we fall to that often. That's an inside force. The outside force is, of course, the world and the way the world influences that. And then Satan, radically. We have to know there is an enemy, and he's very much all over those things, and he will start stirring those to his favor and his work. Now, the things that stimulate us inside was the Holy Spirit, and Ron was mentioning that. And I'm just going to go another layer with that this morning, and so we'll be getting into some more of that in just a minute. But the outside forces that stimulate us were things like church, small groups, other disciples and mentors in your life, missions experiences. I was thinking of just the practices of spiritual disciplines in our life. Reading the Word of God, daily is critical. Prayer, these conversations, talking with God, seeking His wisdom, discernment. Without those, we begin to lose sight of God's plans and His ways in our life. And as I mentioned earlier there in the Gospel of John, that Holy Spirit is that guide, and He wants to give us that wisdom and give us that discernment. Before I jump into the scripture to start this morning, we were just on a trip in Washington, and Hobbs were with us too, Caroline and I, and we got invited to join a there that owns an adventure company, outdoor adventure company, everything from sea kayaking, biking. I mean, they do everything, river rafting, mountain climbing, all the stuff. So knowing all that we were going to do, we were going to be visiting him, but then we were going to be on a sea kayak trip in the San Juan Islands up in Washington. We had a few days up in the mountains where we actually got to do some beautiful hikes along some rivers, and then we actually got thrown into some river rafting experience, which we... Each of these adventures, what he does is, and he's a believer, is he uses these adventures to speak spiritually, the things that correlate, just like you prepare to go on a trip, like with a whitewater rafting course. The water is probably like upper 40s up there right now, and maybe low 50s. And of course, it was really hot in the mountains, which was fortunate for us, because when we got in the river rafting, they're like, okay, here's how you do forward stroke, here's how you do backward strokes, and they're teaching all this stuff. And then they go, okay, now get out of your boat and then get back in before we go down the river, because if you get out of your boat down the river, you need to know how to get back in. And so you actually have to do like a wet exit and get out. So you're preparing yourself for that shock of cold water as you do. But I love that in all of these things, he would sit us down each day on a trip, and then he would kind of correlate that experience with, how maybe the Spirit, wants to guide us in these different things, or your preparation of a trip. We would do these long, two and a half hour paddle one way to an island, and then back from that island to get back. So, it's about 4 miles of travel each way. And so on those trips, there's currents that we have to consider that we're working against or going with us, and all these things. So there's the gear, or sufficient water, our gear that we're wearing, because if you get wet and then the weather starts changing, us, all these things that, when you think about adventure trips, they're really great examples that I think we can correlate into our own walks, even spiritually. And so what I wanted to do this morning is kind of have fun in that category, because my brain, as I was on this trip, was just thinking of a lot of correlations in my life of my walking with God, my hearing from Him, my preparation, my seeking Him out of guidance of where to go and when to go. All those are really critical questions. And so I'm having fun this morning looking at an acronym, GPS. We use GPS to get to location in your vehicles. You punch in your address. And then it starts telling you which directions to go to get you to your destination. And so I'm going to play off of that a little bit this morning. And on our first one here called Guided Steps for G. And I want us to open to Galatians 5. I'm going to read out of Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be beginning in verse 16. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, and that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." You know, keeping in the step with the Spirit is one of my favorite verses. I think about that statement a lot. Keeping in step with the Spirit. We had to walk a distance from our campsite down to these bathrooms that kind of weaves through these kind of hedges and bushes and goes down kind of a steep hill. Eventually you get down there, but at night it's pretty dark. And, you know, if you don't have a flashlight, you know, you're probably going to run into a bush or trip on a twig or a rock. So just think about it for a second. Like when we walk, we watch where we step. When you go to a curb, if you didn't pay attention to the curb, you're going to fall and hurt yourself, break a hip, or, you know, God forbid, something worse. Crossing streets, you know, just think about the attention you pay, the attention you give to paying attention to your steps, your movements in life, physically, just your everyday life. Very naturally, we care about where we're going to step. There's a pile of dog poo right there. I do not want to step there. It'd be inconvenience to me to ignore the fact that that's there and step sideways. I mean, just to be practical, think about, do we have that intentionality to step with the Spirit in the same way? If the Spirit is really just showing us those kinds of landmines or things in the way, and he's like, you might want to see that curb. You might want to see that rock for what it really is there. And step this way, and keep in step with the Spirit. If we don't, we, you know, begins where the flesh gets a hold of us, and that battle begins to really take us out if we just ignore that those steps guided by the Spirit here. Now, look at this first verse there that we read in verse 16. You know, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the Spirit. And so he's telling us here, if you really do it my way, then you'll be in my way. You will be with the Spirit, and you'll be in the right. You'll be going good here if you do it my way with the Spirit. If you don't, it goes on to tell us that then the flesh will do the things of the flesh, the Spirit with the Spirit. These two things are at conflict. You're never free from this. This is like a daily battle for all. I wish I could just give you the... until you get to your destination, the GPS is still telling you turn left, turn right, you know, 4 more miles till this next turn. Okay, and longer journeys, you know, there's a lot more that happens in longer journeys. There's stops along the way, there's refitting, there's maintenance that has to be done, sometimes the vehicles and things. So, you know, the longer life, now our journey, spiritually speaking, our destination is heavenward in Christ Jesus, is what Paul says in Philippians. So, when is that coming? Well, we don't know. It could be still a little while. It's sooner than it was yesterday, which is exciting. Today, we're even closer to that. But this journey we're on is a long journey. This isn't just happening at the end of the week and then you've arrived and you made it there. So we really need to keep in step with the Spirit. Take this idea that these forces are at work. And just like I take that really special care of my steps physically in this world, let's do that with the Spirit. Take words like this. And here he got really specific for us. I love the word for this reason. Some hate it because it calls you out. And then you can't hide anymore. But it says, if any of these things, okay, sexual morality, impurity, idolatry. You know, you got to get specific. You can leave it as a word and then be guarded and safe and not have to deal with it. Idolatry, yeah, you know, I don't want to be an idol person, so I think I'm okay on that. But, you know, we have idol worship all the times in our life. Things creep in and take such a precedence in our life. It is the most important thing. It's more important to me, quite honestly, today than sometimes thinking and following God, just to be honest. So is that in my life? Are these fits of, you know, rage or anger or, you know, sensuality and jealousy and these, I mean, there's a lot in here we can relate with. And so you need to do the work there. And these are the things the Spirit's telling you. That is jealousy there. See the jealousy? See it? Like, don't go there. Just don't go there. Like, move from that. Let that go. That's what the Spirit is telling us in the Word. He's actually giving us a way to move away. They're like signs on a street. A warning sign. Rocks are going to fall here possibly. Look out for rocks. You're kind of walking into this room. There's the temperature in the room. Anxiety going on here. There's a lot of bickering and stuff going on in this little like group of people right now. You know, warning is going on there. Be careful. Tread lightly. Okay, maybe avoid or go around that. Okay, identifying and being aware of those things is really critical. And that's where the Spirit doesn't leave us alone. So he's giving us this guiding book, which is awesome. So we have these words to work with. It's not a mystery. Now we just have to see them and heed those signs. Notice at the end of that, I mean, he's giving us appropriate responses. He doesn't just leave us on the avoid. But there's things to apply. A lot of times in our spiritual journeys, in our walking with God, there's a different way to act to those things. There's a different way to respond to stuff. And, you know, the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, we hear it often, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are very important in our daily walks. You know, instead of being, you know, bitter towards someone, it may, you know, need to apply some kindness, some love. Kind of the truly way to love that is to forgive instead of holding bitterness. I need to kind of deal with that and apply a fruit of the Spirit to move in the direction of the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in these things as well. And so, you know, we have to remember these sinful desires of us and our passions were nailed there on the cross. We don't have to answer to them anymore. They don't have the sway over your life like they, well, they should. They do when we don't live honestly in this walking with God and these things. What we need to do, again, is crucify those things once and for all. Turn from them. And now as the Spirit is showing us each day, if that stuff comes to your doorstep, any of those words, throw those things out. Pick up the clothing of Christ, really the Spirit of Christ, and act now in things like gentleness and kindness and faithfulness. Self-control, you're going to have to use that one. It takes a lot of self-control to not gratify the sinful fleshly desires in our life. So, guided steps there is so critical in the beginning parts of the work of the Spirit. He is going to show us some steps. He's going to show us some signs. He's going to guide your way to get you to your destination. Okay. Now, like I said, long journeys. What happens on long journeys? I mean, wouldn't it be nice, like, if your life came to you like chapters in a book? It's not that neat, unfortunately, where it's like, okay, this chapter is coming so I can prepare for that little curveball or that little aspect of life that's like a big doozer of cancer or these other things that come into life, right? Life is this long journey, and there's a lot of stuff that happens in it. Some of it's damaging, Some of it's very encouraging and awesome, amazing, okay? Some of it seems mundane or regular and just, you know, blah, okay? But life is this long journey. Now, the longer journeys, stuff happens. And I'm going to use some you know, terms as we go into this next step here in just a minute about, you know, vehicles and some other things, because I think they're good analogies that we can use. Things wear down over time. Eventually, you have to replace parts because they break or they're worn out. Just think about your body, the hits it takes every day from the enemy. The enemy is relentless. He was roaring around like a roaring lion, and he will attack you viciously every day. Now, he's doing that regardless of your, you know, moving forward in your walks with God or not, because he just wants to beat you down and win over your life. So he's just be aware of that. But the hits that we take from each other, even in the body of Christ, the things in life that come to us just from a sinful world, there's stuff that happens to you, and you can't predict a lot of this stuff. Fortunately, they wound us, and they wear us. Our hearts grow weary. That's why I love, like in Hebrews, when it says, like, you know, fix your thoughts on the author and perfecter of our faith, the joy before you, endure the cross, scorn its shame, and sits at the right hand of God, so that you will not grow weary and lose. I mean, because the reality is we're going to lose heart in this life. We're going to lose heart in this journey. And so what really matters is being prepared in the longer journeys. We have to, on a road trip, we got to pull over. We got to refit, you know, get some more food. On long trips like our kayak trips, we've got to plan for the overnighter. We're going to have to stay on an island somewhere and have our, you know, clothing and other needs. If I don't prepare for that, I'm going to suffer at some other levels for not dealing with the wear and tear on my body from a trip like that, or just the journey itself of what it's going to bring. Now, to an extent, we can prepare a lot for certain things. But there are some things, unfortunately, that do come, and then we have to respond to those in faith with God and walking with Him. But let's look at this next step being perspective. And you could also use the word process. And where I'm going with this is the Holy Spirit's not just with us to get us to a destination, to get us heavenward in Christ Jesus and to get us there. He is also very active in this aspect of all the stuff that's happening between that point and that point, which is the maintenance on our life, the sanctification of us, okay? This giving us a new mind, a new thought, okay? A better perspective on life, a better perspective on circumstances in your life. The process. Do you ever think about the process of things? When things are made, there's a process by which it's made. You know, your journey is a process of going through stuff. Now, we try to cut corners. We try to just, you know, now I was even realizing on this trip of mine, a few of the biking trips or a longer kayak trip that we did, I have this bad habit of just, I just want to get to the end. And so I just barrel down. I almost like kind of like a horse with those little blinders on, and I just set my course and I just go. You know, so I would have no idea if there was something cool that happened. Maybe there was an eagle flying over there. I would miss that. Any of those details, or if there was, you know, think about the good Samaritan that walked across. I probably wouldn't even seen the person on the road because I was too busy working on my breathing strokes or doing something to get to the destination. And that's just a way I'm bent. It's something that's I'm working on to try to enjoy the process more of getting from point A to point B. Now, I got to marry into one of the best answers to that for me, which with Carol Ann, because, you know, if we're going on a hike somewhere or biking somewhere, you know, you're like, where's Carol Ann? She's back there. She's got a picture of that, you know, a picture of this. And I'm thinking, like, man, we're just, like, never going to get there, you know, like, at this pace, like, what's going on? But, you know, to, like, take in with such delight, there's so much in those things, and you all of that stuff if you skip the process, okay? Now, those are some of the positive things, but the same thing, you can be really hindered if you don't deal with the process of some of the hard things in life, too. The sin and these things that, those things that we just listed in Galatians 5, I mean, look at Ephesians 5 for a second here, just a couple pages over. Just going to add to the list here a little bit. It says here in Ephesians 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrance and a sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity, covetousness, named among you as it is proper among be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children. Fruit of light is all that is good and right and true. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So many great words in here. And I'm just kind of just doing some highlights for us today. You take the word with the walk of the Spirit and go way deeper with this on your own this week. You know, it's interesting there not to even have anything to do with this, or shouldn't even have a hint of this, or, you know, there's these really strong statements in here, being very careful how you walk. Some key words in this passage for us this morning in this idea of perspective and process is discern and understand. Discern and understand. You know, right at the end there, it said, understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, and that exposing and that shedding light there, and it's pleasing to the Lord. There's an issue that we have to have is there's a lot of things underneath the surface, and the reality is, you know, where's the foolish talk coming from? Where's the coarse joking coming from? Where is this desire of jealousy or lust towards this coming from? What's going on there? So much of this, you know, the step, that sign, don't go there, see that? Some stuff at work within us. And unfortunately, there is some work needed to be done, some maintenance, some refitting. The Spirit is going to bring these things as unpleasant and as might be ready to deal with it, or He won't be there. And expose and shed the light of Christ on it, which He's helping us here by the Word, pointing them out. We will go there and deal with it, because it is critical to change those things, to renew, to restore those areas, and not let that fester underneath the surface. Now, I want to give us an analogy of looking under the hood. You know, for a vehicle, you know, say you go to your car. I mean, I know over here, and some of us walk and we don't use a vehicle, and that's nice convenience over here. But in a vehicle, and you got in, you went to start it, and it doesn't start. Maybe it's just an even clicking sound, which is really bad, and like a dead battery, okay? This sinking feeling that sometimes can happen in our minds of going, when was the last time I looked under the hood of my car? And checked under there. What would I see? Would I see like some corroded battery terminals? You know, that acid stuff that builds up there that needs to be cleaned off from time to time. You know, water coolant in my vehicle, you know, so that it keeps it from overheating. Or even the dipstick for the oil. That's a big one. When was the last time you checked? Because if you missed that one, seized engine is not any fun curveball in life. But it is not a good feeling that of neglect when we start thinking of things that I haven't checked in a long time, okay? And to be honest, we might say to ourselves, like, I don't want to know, or I don't want to go there. I don't want to have the information that's on the end of that dipstick. Because if it's not good, I don't want to have that information. I have a weird sound in my golf cart right now, and I have an appointment on Tuesday to take it into the shop because it just started happening. When we came back from a trip, there was a sound in there. I'm like, what is that? And it doesn't sound good. And I'm pretty sure I don't want the information he's going to give me of like, yeah, that's a new clutch, or that's some major part that's hundreds of dollars. But if I don't do that, I'm going to pay much more later to ignore these things. I can deal with the inconvenience of those things now, or I wait and pay a much heavier cost. And then if this happened to anything, other areas of our life, when was the last time you balanced a checkbook, maybe, for some of us? It's like, that can be pretty scary to know what's really going on there. Maybe our drive to the dentist, we're thinking, when was the last time I flossed? You know, we're all pretty not good in those areas. You know, maybe to be more serious in our marriage, you know, there's some icier waters lately, and I can tell some stuff is up, but I really don't want to ask because I'm not ready for the information on the other side, right? So we could ignore those things. There's these our life that start coming up, and the Spirit of God is at work in these for us. This can be benefit. This could be to our great transformation on this journey to heavenward in Christ Jesus, is to go there with the Spirit and go, yeah, what is that anxiety about? What is that anger about? How come I got angry all of a sudden over that? Why am I just so depressed right now? You know, or I was like fearful all of a sudden in this situation. What is going on there? You can, again, allow this processing with the Holy Spirit. He will do this with you and then show you that in His Word and help you deal with it so that it can be maintained, fixed up, refitted, restored, so that that is not going to be a worse painful thing for you at the end. Now, this is an inconvenience. It's a big inconvenience for you. But it is necessary. It is necessary for the sake of our lives, and we have to go there with the Spirit. As he said there in Ephesians, exposing things, you can't bury it down. It will not be your friend if you do so. You will not want that walking. But, you know, be careful how you walk, it said there, not as unwise, but as wise. So if you hear any of those rumblings going on, you hear any of those things, let's discern, let's understand, so that I can then cooperate with this process with God. Am I walking with Him? Last point here, stewarding grace. Before I go into the scripture here, just I wanted to say in the example I was given of Carol Ann, is sometimes when I'm so driven on just like point A to point B, again, I miss a lot of the details in between. And a lot of times the cool thing about God is he graces us with so much. And that isn't just for our benefit. I mean, it does benefit us big time. It really is for the kingdom work. It's really to be able to grace others with and to meet others' lives with. And so I want to go there for a moment with us as we close. Is look at 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to pick up in verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking whoever has suffered in the flesh, so as to live for the rest of time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead. But though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the Spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. whoever serves as one who serves by the Spirit lies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. All God's people said, amen. Now in here, it's beautiful. I mean, moving to, instead of, you know, desiring the flesh no longer for human passions, but the will of God there, it said in verse 2. That's cool. Just moving. You've transferring yourself from death to life. It's like a new journey is renewed before you now. We used to just walk in all these ways. It says they kind of find it strange, our old friends going, why don't you do this anymore? And some of them, they try to heap abuse on us and pull us back into that. But the reality is your journey is a new one now. And the Spirit is going to guide you in some different steps in the way you used to do things before. You can't just go out and do this stuff. It wasn't good for you then, and it's definitely not good for you. And so there's that changed course. But at the end of all of this there, starting in verse 7, there's a lot for you to consider here. And again, I'm just scratching the surface, so you take time this week to go deeper with this. There's a lot of things for us to do. Being self-controlled and sober-minded is critical for us. We need to think clearly, and we need to stay in step with the Spirit. Listen to Him. Know the decisions you have to make each day for the sake of your life. But then look at, he starts saying, keep loving one another earnestly. Love covers a multitude of sins. Hospitality without grumbling. There's these like marching orders given to us, or opportunities given to us on this journey from point A to point B. You have a lot of opportunities to begin to show love one to another, but not out of like duty and grandma, all right, I'll do it because I got to do this. No, he's saying like truly love them. It actually covers a multitude of sins. That's crazy. He says it actually will cover many, many of those sins. It's just awesome. So turn our focus from ourselves to others. You know, serve God wholeheartedly as you go out these doors. To just say, my life is now guided by the Spirit, yes, but for what purpose? For His glory, right? And His kingdom work. So I get to do, there's a lot of things. You go to work, maybe you go on vacation and you're going on trips, but meanwhile, I get to glorify God and I get to do His work in there. And we got to meet all kinds of friends on this, and we built into each other, we prayed for each other. There was just all kinds of encounters in there that we would miss if I didn't take intentionality to turn my focus from myself and on to others. Notice there the second thing I want to bring out in that is activating God's gifts. It said there that God has graced us with varied, okay, and a couple of them are listed here, from speaking the words of God and serving. And when I do that, if I speak the word of God, speak as if it is the words of God. And I pray it is for you this morning. I'm just trying to submit myself to the Spirit of what He's showing us and just let it be God's words to you. And if I serve, let it be out of His strength. And why does He say that? It's because if it is just me, my words, my wisdom, my strength, then that's just all it is. Like, you're going to get that much out of it. God is so much bigger than that. So why would I want to work out of limited resources rather than working out of the fullness of God? And so I want to give you God's power, God's words, God's strength that is available to us because He's graced it to us. Now, if He's given you any of those abilities, the giftings, I don't know what your special gift is, but God's given you giftings. If you know Jesus Christ, your own Savior, He has graced you. And so function, find that place, activate that gift, use it for the ministry here in this church or abroad, if you're on missions or if you're at another church, take that and get active. Bring glory to God, and it will serve in His kingdom work. And then lastly, in this section, I want us to talk about staying at the end of yourself. Now, that's an interesting phrase, staying at the end of ourselves. There's a book called Radical. Two things here. One of the things is there's a book called Walking with God. A lot of this talking about this. This is a great book, Walking with God, about just tips of how to hear God's voice, how He works in your life, how to just move with Him and step with Him. It's a great read if you want to read into that. But Radical here, I just want to mention, I'm going to read a small section as we close this morning out of this. But in Radical by David Platt, there's a chapter in there called The End of Ourselves. And this is kind of where the biggest change in my life especially in my ministry years, has taken place is to realize the end of myself is where my strengths end, my knowledge ends, my abilities end, okay, is where God begins to be more active, because now I'm relying, I am so dependent on Him. I want only what He can do, not what I can do. I want His knowledge, not mine, right? And so the end of myself, if I can stay there, then really from there on, everything that's happening is like God's power, His provision, His work, His amazingness, His glory. He's going to get the credit. That is totally not me. If it was me, I probably wouldn't have done that. You know, I probably would have been too selfish or tied up in myself. And so I just want to read, I thought this might encourage us as we go to prayer here this morning. I just want to read end of that chapter for us. It says, "It is the way of Christ. Instead of asserting ourselves, we crucify ourselves. Instead of imagining all the things we can accomplish, we ask God to do what only He can accomplish. Yes, we work, we plan, we organize, and we create. But we do it all while we fast, while we pray, while we constantly confess our need for provision from God. Instead of dependence on ourselves, we express radical desperation for the power of His Spirit. And we trust that Jesus stands ready to give us everything we ask so that we might make much of our Father in the world. Think about it. Would you say that your life is marked right now by desperation for the Spirit of God? Would you say that the church or your church that you're a part of, is characterized by the sense of desperation? Why would we ever want to settle for Christianity according to our ability or settle for church according to our resources? The power of the one who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. As a result, we have no need to muster up our own might. Our great need is to fall before an almighty Father day and night and to plead for Him to show His radical power in and through us, enabling us to accomplish for His glory what we could never imagine in our own strength. And when we do this, we will discover that we are what we were created for, a purpose much greater than ourselves, the kind of purpose only can be accomplished in the power of the Spirit." Let me pray. Oh, Father, I do pray that this church would be characterized by a desperation for You. It doesn't rely, Lord, on our own resources and our own abilities, but looks daily, weekly, monthly, yearly on Your direction to go after this community, this world, for the sake of Christ, which is only possible through Your resources and Your leading. And I pray that for each person in this room, that we live in that same desperation individually, longing to look for those signs every day in our steps, to know exactly where to step, because Your Spirit is showing us in the Word, and to get right perspective, renewing our minds, Lord, just understanding the process of things and going on that inward transformation journey, that we need to uproot some things and get some things right, Lord. And then finally, just to live our lives for You, to activate gifts in our life that You've given us, that You've graced us with, Lord, to get our eyes off ourselves and begin to serve others and really stay at the end of ourselves and all this, that it really is all You. This is all You. It's not me. And so You get the glory. You're the one acknowledged. You're the one people come to know. Or let that be our lives, desperation for You, that we need You.